Good Sunday evening to you all. Welcome to episode 137 of the Houston Round Ball Review presents Folks Talking Sports. I'm, of course, KG Chris Gardner, and joining me this evening are two of the three legends that I work with. Kenitra Pulliams, Miss KP, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thanks.
And next to her on the screen is Mr. A.D. Moore, Adolphus A.D. Moore from the AdMex Corner. How are you, Mr. Moore?
I'm doing outstanding, man. I don't even know if I dressed appropriately for that. I didn't realize it was going to be. I'm serious, man. I'm waiting to give Will a hard time, and now I threw the script out. You know, maybe I had to go make another threw the script out, man. That's okay. Hey, we're gonna be great, man. I'm doing outstanding. Thank you, by the way. Since my alma mater,
I was going to say, let's get into it. Yeah. KP. A.D. Moore is a proud graduate. You are a proud graduate of Sam Houston State University, right, sir?
Absolutely. Yes, I am.
And after last night's spanking that the Bearcats put on the Rice Owls inside Rice Football Stadium, 34-14, he's beaming right now. Miss another queen, Miss Wanda Polk. Thank you, Miss Polk, for joining us as well. How are you doing? But Mr. Moore. Were you shocked? What were your thoughts on what you saw in person? You were there last night at Rice. What were your thoughts?
I didn't think this was the same team I watched. I'm specifically talking about the Rice Owls. And from last year, I mean, and even going in, obviously you don't know what to expect from teams first game of the year. And the fact that this is the Cats' second year, you know, they left FCS and playing FBS ball now. Their second year, and I know they had lost about several games close within 5 or 6 points last year. You know, moving up. In fact, I'll relatively admit, I was not one of those that's championing the cause of moving up. Mm-hmm. I like staying. I'm going like, guys, we never really dominated the Southland. We didn't win the Southland every year, and when we were there. But that was how competitive it was. And then several of my colleagues graduated, went to school with, was talking about, well, we're doing it for academic reasons. And you know what I told, you know what I said. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. you did the same thing. I'm willing. Academic mouth blank. Come on, give me a break.
Foot.
Yeah.
Yeah, foot. There Thank you go.
Yeah. See, I'm going like, man, come on, this is all about money. We know exactly what this is all about. Everybody's jumping in. So 2 years, man, because we no longer play the rival, East Texas rival,
Piney Woods game, Austin. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't play that game anymore. You know, like A&M and Texas haven't played, which would now that game is back on since they're back in the SEC now, because A&M don't do any better than what they did against Notre Dame. It might, but that's...
We'll talk about that, too. Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that. And my Cougars as well. So that's what Miss Wanda wants to hear about. But, yeah, we'll talk about that, too.
Yeah, but anyway, in a matter of 50 seconds, Chris, the Bearcats came in. And, they traded a punch first time. All of a sudden, the Bearcats hit for a 67-yard touchdown strike. And within a matter of 50 seconds... young man jumped around 30 yards away. All of us next thing, and within 50 seconds, 30 yards pick, went for a touchdown and returned an interception. It's 14-0. And like I asked Coach Bloomgren yesterday, within 50 seconds, y'all didn't know what to do after that. They didn't know how to, they couldn't figure out a way to get out of it. And they just couldn't get out of their own way after that, man. And the Bearcats just, they laid the wood to the Rice Owl. Even though they had 7 sacks on Sam Houston's quarterbacks overall, but when you look at the rushing, I just kept looking at the statistics and everything, and I kept going like, it just didn't matter. Sam Houston just came in there, and this is only the second victory in about 18 times that they played the Rice Owls, but they came in and they took University Place and over there on University Boulevard, and they thought they were back up at Bowie Stadium the way they was acting last night, man.
KP, were you surprised at that score? 34-14, San Houston State over Rice?
No, not really. I mean, there were a lot of week one, you know, intriguing scores, you know, with that one. No, I mean, but, you know, but AD, like, did you start making plans for bowl season after the first 2 minutes of the game?
Be quite candid with you. Hell no. No.
Well, okay. No. Well, AD, after the game, did you, at any point, did your alma mater love shine through? Did you forget where you were, sir? And say, you know,
no. Here's a unique experience. You know, you in the Patterson Auditorium where Rice conducts their post game, and Richard, you know, the Chronicle was, and we Richard were Dean? Walking down. Yeah, we were walking down the tunnel, and he and I both looked at one another. And I said, I wanted like the devil just to go get a sound bite from Casey Keeler. I mean, but I'm going like one is way over one end of the Rice Stadium. The other one is like over there off of I-10. That's basically how far it is to go from one end of that stadium to the other. Then it's up the tunnel at the top of the tunnel. And I'm going like, you know what? And I sort of had made a professional decision. I said, yes, I am an independent media person. Yes, that's my alma mater. However, the fact that because Rice, you know, credential us, Houston Round Ball Review, to come. And so Say that again.
Miss Wanda, hear this, Miss Wanda. Go ahead.
Rice University credential, the Houston Round Ball Review Media Group, i.e. Chris Gardner, the owner of Houston Round Ball Review since 1994.
Pause it right there. KP, yes. You know what school I graduated from, right? Mm-hmm. Alma mater. Go ahead, say it.
University of Houston.
They have not and won't credential me for football for the fourth, fifth year in a row. But Mr. Moore, the Rice Owls, have. Just saying.
Just saying, yeah. And
Chris, why is that?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I've been told various reasons. One, I don't know, basketball is my focus. Well, yeah, everybody knows that. But the Houston Round Ball Review has been credentialed for the big game. What, three times now, AD, right? Three times?
Yes.
The CFP, other football events. So I don't know why my – and I'm part of shows, post-game shows that discuss the Cougars football team. So I don't know.
Houston. Also, let's go ahead and just lay it out there completely for everybody. The Houston Round Ball Review was credentialed for the 2024 Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's the first Houston Texan inducted. So if the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame can see fit to credential us and then for allow us to be there from the moment, you know, I got off the plane until the time I got back on the plane that early Sunday morning, and let us come in there and then allow me, the reporter, to roam around the Pro Football Hall of Fame on my own and just basically got ahead and run to the place and literally, you know, up in there and get to see where all those that room with a bust and everything as a credential media person. You know, as far as I'm concerned, folks, I just sent Chris, we, you know, and I'm trying to keep this PC, but but you know the text I sent you back when you told me that I'm not credentialed, and I think I put on there what I think I put
a few other things, yeah, but yeah.
I put what the blankety blank anyway that's what that was some similar what I said.
But AD, question, CA's question, were there more Bearcat fans at the game last night than Rice Owls fans?
There were 17,292 fans announced as attended last night. There were a sea of orange, that orange SHSU orange on the east side of Rice Stadium. And from what I can tell, I think it might have been more. Between the mob, the band, and everything else, I think it was a typical Rice crowd, man.
So and, what is and, that? 2000?
Yeah. Now they announced 17,292, and when I heard that, I grabbed a pencil and wrote that down. And because I was looking around, I'm trying to figure out, okay, 17,200, and I did not go back and count every last one of them. I was just doing the room, you know, that
but you probably could have though.
Yeah, and probably by within a quarter, probably so.
All right, Kenitra.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend too much time on what the Longhorns did yesterday to Colorado State. They won. They shut them out. Blah, 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 blah. Go ahead and share your thoughts on that or what Texas did. Yes, I'll give you your moment to discuss what your Longhorns did yesterday. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it was great to have a shutout at home. First time in a long time they've done that. Especially there were, you know, a lot of questions, not so much at quarterback or at receiver, but in the running back room, just because of the season ending injury sustained, you know, by the running backs during fall camp. So now they're just trying to, you know, piecemeal together who's going to carry the rock. So they were able to run the ball effectively, able to pass the ball, and being able to the defense, you know, showing up, you know, getting off the field, and it allowed Texas to build a large lead and rest Quinn Ewers and put in Arch Manning to a standing ovation. He comes in, throws for a touchdown, runs for another, and now the focus shifts to Ann Arbor next week.
So now it's my turn to talk about my alma mater's performance or lack thereof. Let's see. Miss Wanda, what should I say? They lost 27-7 to UNLV. I'm not surprised they lost because I said they would lose on the takeover last Thursday and week before. I'm surprised at how poorly they looked. The 10 penalties, the offensive line was bad. I expected that. But Donovan Smith did not look good at all at quarterback. He looked out of sorts, rusty. It's going to be a long season. I thought that coming into the season. But the folks who are saying, oh, no, the sky is falling. What are we to do now? We shouldn't have made this move. Oh, my God. Give me a break. Justin says, yes. Thank you, Justin, for chiming in as well. LOL, folks are saying the QB should think about being a tight end. He is big enough. He was bad yesterday. No question about it. And it's not, it won't get better this coming Saturday. They go to Norman. Okay. So that game's going to be on the SEC network for everyone to see. Oklahoma thrashed Coach Fritz's Cougars, and they'll be 0-2 after that. And then, Mr. Moore, will you be at the game on September 14th between Rice and Houston at the TDECU Stadium?
Why are they credentialing us over there?
I'm assuming we could ask Mr. Poole to give us a credential for that game.
Well,
I assume that.
Chris, you know, we can let people in on our sidebar conversation. You know what I've said once they.
That is fair. Okay.
Once, you know, my attitude is I go where I'm welcome.
Well, okay. True. No doubt. That's why
I go where I'm welcome. And, you know, and when I made, and now I've been at U of H on several other occasions covering the Bob as a credential member under the Houston Round Ball Review title. All of a sudden, you know, since they became part of the Big 12 and, you know, that they have been, you know, elbow room. You know, we had to elbow each other out of the way because the press room up there, you know, we in there sort of like we on a train from Shanghai to Singapore in China somewhere, man. So because it's so crowded up there. So I understand, you know, they just, you know, maybe because my shoulders are broad and maybe I'm bumping some little small guy the way. I don't know. I'm not sure, but I like I said, I try not to take shots at other alums, particularly when that's your alumni, and you know, it's like I told you,
that's what I'm here for. I'm here to take
shots. Yeah, that's right. That's why I let you just go ahead and blow off, and you know, you know, Kenitra sitting up there, you know, being a graduate of the 40 acres. I mean, you know, give me a break. I mean, those guys don't even want to leave when they graduate. They want to stay there.
But Miss Wanda said it. I wasn't going to say it. But I pointed this out on Thursday. And let me say this. People who know more about football than I do said, predicted for the Cougs anywhere from 2 to 4 wins this season. UNLV had a better team returning than these Cougs do. So I wasn't surprised at all that they lost. They're going to lose this coming Saturday to Oklahoma, which we all expected anyway, to set up that Titanic tilt on the 14th between the Cougs and Rice Owls. Thrillo, big Thrillo, TSU alum. He's grinning. He probably hasn't stopped partying since last night. TSU smacked around Prairie View 27-9 on the hill after 9 straight losses.
Yeah. Oh, Chris, by the way, guess what I saw in the Patterson Auditorium where the media center was? Since you mentioned Rice and U of H, the bucket was sitting there.
Yeah. it's going to it'll come back to Houston on the
14th. After this year, right?
It'll come back to Houston. Yeah, it'll come back to UH. It'll be Coach
Frisch. But I'm saying
this month.
Yeah, September 14th. It'll return to Houston.
It will.
UH. Yes, it will. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, because Thrillo, get ready, Thrillo. This coming Saturday, the team, the H-Town University team that is 1-0, TSU, comes to Rice. And see, he knows right there, the only undefeated team in the city right now. Yep, TSU's 1-0. They're going to be 1-1. Right, AD? Rice going to beat TSU Saturday, right?
Did Houston Christian lose this past week?
They played SMU. Oh, yeah, they played SMU.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we cleared all. We talking everything within a 50-mile radius of Houston city limits, right? Claiming, okay. All right.
No. I'm just the team with Houston in it or Houston proper. Yeah, this is just UH, HCU, Rice, and TSU. So yeah, Prairie View after they got beat down on the hill in front of their fans, and that wasn't a sellout. It didn't look like it was a sellout Saturday. Which, let's talk about this. KP knows enough about Houston area football and college teams in H-Town. What will it take for any of the local football teams, UH, TSU, Rice, HCU doesn't really count, but, you know, to have better attendance at their home games?
It's hard just because of the recreational dollar can be split in so many different ways. You know, you have this large Metroplex. You have a first place Houston Astros team that just swept the Kansas City Royals. And so now the Astros have their largest lead in the division that they've had all season. They have more wins than any other team since the All-Star break. So now you got, you know, and then all of the hype and expectations coming up for the Texans. So that just depletes. There's only a set number of recreational dollars. And now there are extra buckets to deposit those funds into. And so it's hard unless you have a dynamic product and a team on the field. You know, it's just hard to compete, you know, whereas, you know, whether, you know, even, you know, A&M, you know, it's far enough removed where you're not competing with Houston proper. You know, Texas, you're not competing with anybody in Austin. You had MLS team. So that's different. But when you're just here, you got Major League Soccer, you know, men's and women's. You've got baseball, you've got NFL, and then all of the colleges, not to mention, you know, the parents of high school football players, athletes, cheerleaders. So it's hard to say, hey, okay, we're going to go here on Friday night, we're going to go here on Saturday, and we're going to go here on Sunday. It's tough.
You know, it's reality. It is difficult. This is a pro sports town. Majority of teams in the Big 12 are in college towns. The majority of teams in the SEC are college towns. When you look at the teams that are in pro towns, Houston, Miami, UCLA, USC, they all struggle with home attendance. So that is a definite factor. Add that factor to the piss poor job, speaking about my alma mater specifically, marketing has done just nothing.
You know, outreach
for 30 years, outreach is pretty much non-existent. So those two factors equal poor attendance to the home games. You know, Rice AD, Rice alum, living alum in the city, what is it? 50,000? I mean, it's not 100,000. You know, a living alum, Rice alum, it's not.
No, but let's put
TSU,
it like...
Well, yeah, Thrill Auto want to do that too, but yeah. Well, I'll put a blanket on everybody. TSU marketing, UH marketing, Rice marketing, HCU marketing, all four have areas to improve. And I love what KP said. The outreach is just not, it's not good enough. And you know you are in a pro town. So you need to do a better job of outreach to at least get the word out to your alums, to recruits, their families, to let them know, hey, we got game this coming weekend. All those things, you have to do more to just be a little slice of the pie. So all four of those schools, they do the bare minimum. And then some of them have the nerve to say, I don't know why we don't get more fans. You don't do enough to let folks know about you. You just use the, yes, it is reality. We all know that. That this is a pro town, and just you're like, ah, well, why bother? That's the wrong attitude. You need to do better. You need to do more. And yes, it's a fair weather town. You got to win. That's part of it. But for years, you have to give people a reason to care about your teams, about your programs first. Because if they care, because a lot of these schools, fans are indifferent. You know, TSU, Prairie View, outside of the Labor Day Classic, their alums don't care about anybody else on the schedule. You know, maybe TSU Grambling. You know, maybe, but okay.
Like, what is, you know, coming up in a couple weeks? Like, what is Rice doing? Are they providing free shuttles, you know, for their students or for their fan base to the game? Like, what are they doing to incentivize people to want to come?
Nothing. Not that I know of.
Yeah. Not that I'm aware of either. Yeah,
so for instance, this year, University of Kansas, they're redoing their stadium. So mm-hmm. all of their games are being played in Kansas City. Two non-conference games are being played at Children's Mercy Park in Kansas City, Kansas. All the conference games are being played at Arrowhead Stadium, which is in Missouri, different mm-hmm. state. So it's more than an hour from campus. So what are they doing? They're doing free shuttles from Lawrence to Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri for those students. You know, it's just like, it's free. Here, sign up on the app. You know, like, you do something to help create a home field advantage,
yes.
to create an environment to, you know, whether it's giveaways, whether it's, you know, food vouchers, some, you have to do something. And I know it all costs money, but you have to make an effort. If you want the support the students that you want to support your programs.
Yes. And CA37 says it's not the culture to go to the games. That's a problem right there. He has several fellow UH alums that want to know the score, but are unmotivated to attend the games for no reason, which goes back to one of my biggest underlying realities is UH alums, many of them, not all of them, many of them, will go to football games because of the opponent the Cougs are playing, mm-hmm. rather than to see the Cougs, to see the team that represented the university that they graduated from.
Chris, you know, yes, sir. Here's what was interesting. While I was sitting up watching the game Saturday afternoon at Rice Stadium, you know what a tennis, you know, from the press box, you can look over and see the tennis court, the mm-hmm. tennis court area. you realize that there were a lot of people. I was seeing a lot of balls flying back and forth at the, from the tennis court during the course of the game at Rice Stadium. Now, let's understand one thing, and I'm not going to try to beat up on Rice because their enrollment is not going to get above what 3,000.
It's not gonna. Rice in football, when Rice early years of Rice football was important,
right?
Since then, it's not important at all.
Yeah, I mean we talking about the old Southwest Conference days and so forth. So
early
Southwest Conference day. I mean, there's talk now that the fact that they want to renovate Rice Stadium now to get rid of the top layers,
yeah,
and cut it down to a single bowl. Mm-hmm. And I've always at that point, and I realized from a historical perspective that Rice at one time used to fill up that whole doggone stadium, man.
Yeah, 70,000. Yeah.
Yeah, excluding of the Super Bowl that one time was there. I think the Steelers and the Minnesota Vikings played in that stadium. But excluding that fact, and here was what unique. I saw a listing of all the top stadiums. You know, U of M Stadium being the largest stadium. I think they had like 107,000. It might have been more than that. You know, A&M is adding to the size of their stadium. UT, I think, you know, Dal K. Royal Stadium, I think, what is 104, 105, something like that. And I will be candid, which I was shocked last night that the Aggies lost that game because of the sheer factor. I really was, because Bryan College Station, I felt like it was going to be a tight game. Mm-hmm. I felt like that the Aggie were gonna just basically they were gonna come through in the end, and give Marcus Freeman and that Notre Dame crowd, that football team, tremendous credit. They walked in there in that hostile environment, and when they walked out with that victory, I'm going like, this is a team that you're gonna have to. I'm saying it right now, unless they fall flat on their face, they'll be part of the 12 for the playoffs. Yeah.
Their schedule is favorable.
Yeah.
Yes.
But see, we're talking about things, KP, with ideas, suggestions. Miss Wanda, right here, this is also part of the problem. UH gave out rally towels to the first 10,000 fans, but at some of the gates, no one was there to distribute the towels when the gates opened.
Poor planning.
Which is another example. Miss Wanda is learning this when I reference it all the time. Cougnet is not a positive. Okay. We managed to stub our toes on some of the most basic things that other schools have no problems with planning and logistics. So when we don't do things well, it's Cougnet. You don't return phone calls in the ticket office. Cougnet. You don't have enough people at the gates to hand out towels. Cougnet. On and on and on. I'm tired of saying Cougnet, but I have reason to say it so often. And CA says right here, that's why I didn't get one, because no one was at the gate. See, that's the problem. The most basic things. And what is, it's a very common, popular phrase. You don't get a second chance to make a first impression.
But and then you wonder, you know, because men's basketball team was recognized on the field last night. And there will come, you know, part of the recruiting lure is you bring your basketball recruits to football games just to kind of give them mm-hmm. the vibe of what Saturdays are like on campus. You would think Kelvin Sampson and his staff might be hesitant, knowing that.
Well, they have been in the past. I don't know.
You know, but it's just like, why would you bring a recruit to be like, you know, hey, our athletic department supports all of athletics. You know, yes. Our students support, you know, you have to be selective when you bring recruits to a game, knowing that
Yes. And the ball was dropped last season when the Cougs played in the Love You Blue uniforms that everybody wanted injected into my veins. Take my money. That's basically what it was. Take my money.
Right.
Oh no, they're not for sale. What? Yeah, they're not. They're not for sale.
Missed opportunity.
Another example of cougan it. that's what we do. And then a couple weeks later, Rice had their version, and it's a different version, but they had their version of the Love Blue Owls jerseys, but they were available for purchase on campus, online, and those sales went great.
Yeah, but also Rice was, I think, in a little bit better position. Didn't they get a clearance from the NFL not to run afoul of them because of using the Houston, that quote-unquote Houston all of blue? They were smart enough to go.
Another example, AD, of cougan it. UAs did not work with the NFL to make sure that the jerseys could be, you know, modified, different colors, tweaks, stripes, no stripes, whatever design to pass the Gestapo of the NFL to be available for purchase. They didn't do that. Another example of cougan it.
There's no vision. There's no foresight. It's like, hey, we're gonna do this little quirky, little nuance one-off, but not invest in long term, like, hey, this could really be something. It's just like, oh, we're gonna do this one time. Hey, isn't that cute? Okay,
yeah.
Next.
Yeah.
Well, let me just let you know a little sidebar story. You know, the Texans changed complete uniforms for everything. Mm-hmm. There's a special uniform with the quote unquote Columbia blue, all the blue. The question I asked when they introduced that question, I pulled one of the all the personnel to the side and I said, explain to me, how did y'all get this past the NFL? Because we know how proprietary the NFL is when it comes down to their brand.
Yes.
And I was told in no uncertain terms, trust me, we spent more time in front of Roger Goodell and the NFL brass. And basically what they had to do was to make a shape. They had to work, even though it looks like the same all the blue that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a different color. It's a different shade. It's a different name. Just to satisfy them to be able to have that as part of the Houston Texans lexicon as far as their potpourri of uniforms that they can wear. They had to sit in front of the Pope and literally, you know, basically promise their firstborn before they were able to get that approved. So I'm sitting here going like, if the Texans are able to, you know, come back and make some modifications and utilize that as part of their new uniform and marketing appeal, and I know that there have been some very unique and outstanding graduates that come out of University of Houston, i.e. John O'Quinn, because O'Quinn Field and, you know, that whole deal. I'm going like, come on, guys. It's not brain surgery.
Common sense is not always common, AD. This is a good question. Are they moving forward with the blue jersey now that Chris Pesman is gone? That's one of the things Chris Pesman was. He came out, he told, he was quoted to Chronicles' Joseph Duarte that we were moving forward. We were going to have Cougar version of the Columbia Blue at some point soon. And then it kind of petered away. Now that Houston has a new AD, Eddie Nunez, I hope they push forward with it because it is it's easy money because so many fans want it. And if I do get the opportunity to have Ms. Nunez join me on the takeover on our Thursday or just recording conversation whenever, I will ask him that question because you two know it. Our fans know it. I'm not scared to ask questions of anybody. So I will ask that question regarding the Columbia Blue and the Cougs. We'll see how it goes. UAs needs a tagline like the Texans. Just marketing ideas. We had some we tossed around Saturday night on Les Rage Cougs postgame show. Coach Fritz says, Cougs cannot beat Cougs. Cougs cannot beat the Cougars. We cannot beat the Cougars. So, you know, no mistakes. You can't beat yourselves. It's just a whole bunch of things they could do to inspire hope in the fans. There were no, Miss Wanda, you tell me, CA37, you tell me, how many billboards have you seen around H-Town leading up to yesterday's game? How many billboards featuring Coach Fritz? We got a new man in town. The Coach Willie Fritz era has begun at Houston. None. So again, the outreach. How can you, not how. Why would you expect fans to care about your program, to know about your program, when you do the bare minimum about your program?
Maybe do something in conjunction with Willie's Hamburgers restaurant. You know?
No billboards. CA37. Haven't seen anything.
The only billboards I've seen was the NIL reference to a certain law firm that they've done in the past.
Yep. And that certain law firm doesn't return my messages, Andy's messages. It's like we don't exist. Well, okay. I know we were the only one who was at the Big 12 Media Day for football. I know that. 2 years in a row. That I know. I'm just saying. Just saying. One of us has been on TV, naked Nate Griffin. Yeah. Just saying.
Brett Yormark, the commissioner, encourages member institutions to be forward-thinking, to be innovative. Hence, you know, what Oklahoma State tried to do with the QR codes on the helmet, which, you know, hey, that one got shot down, depending on how you interpret the letter of the law. But, you know, those QR codes were still up inside the stadium, inside Boone Pickens Stadium, you know, for folks to scan. Like, you need some visionaries, some people within the U of H community, athletic department, university, to think of ways to do things differently.
Yes. Oh, no question. Because you know it. Y'all know it. Doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results is what?
Insanity.
Thank you. And I will say this. Coach Fritz has been on my colleague Ryan Monso's Go Cougs show. Is a Ryan's, I think, show on Sunday evening. He's been on there. Coach Kelvin Sampson has been on that show as well. So the newer media, Coach Fritz and Coach Sampson, are doing their part. But, you know, the traditional media, the Cougs are ignoring it. Oh, what was it? The announcement, if I can pull it up. Cougs, University of Houston, had an announcement regarding STEM research. Let's see here. Pull it up. ConocoPhillips and the University of Houston partnered to inspire the next generation of STEM leaders. Okay. I was sent this by a friend, and this was launched a few days ago, and here's part of it. As the official STEM partner of UH Athletics, ConocoPhillips has committed to a 5-year partnership supporting the UH STEM Center's ConocoPhillips STEM Zone, an interactive program for elementary, middle, and high school students across Greater Houston, including Third Ward and underserved communities. The program, which kicks off this fall, is expected to engage thousands of students during the 2024-25 academic year. I have not received an email from UH Athletics, UH period, about that. That's a big deal. That's great news. That news should be shared all over the city. I shared it on Twitter and on Facebook. It's not my job to post that kind of stuff about University of Houston. That is important. That is a great initiative, because if you work with those younger kids and continue the outreach with them, establish a bond with those kids and their parents, there's a chance those kids, some of those kids, will do what? Will enroll at the University of Houston. or and create a pipeline right there, or either, come to the game.
Or either come to University of Houston during the summertime when you have enrichment programs that a lot of schools do for high school students.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But
this was not announced at the game yesterday.
It wasn't?
It was not. Another missed opportunity. Another one. Another example of what? Everyone, stay all together, class. Cougan it.
Kanitra, let me follow up with, because I saw that, you know, during the course of the game, I was sort of thumbing through, you know, catching highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Why did not the QR code go off on the helmets? Because I was trying to get the, what was the basis? What they mess up?
Basically, they said, the NCAA said that it was advertisement.
What?
Yeah, like kind of like sponsorship advertisement.
Wait a minute, but they let these schools now put patches on them on the uniforms on now. The
uniform and on the field.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think those that are sponsored by Nike, I think they got the guy that looks like Jordan.
Jumpman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jump 23.
Yeah.
Jumpman, yeah.
It's, uh-huh. Where did I go wrong? Isn't that advertising on their uniforms?
It is, but I guess they figure that whereas Jumpman or Nike or Adidas or Under Armour, whatever, is kind of a university-wide sponsorship, the QR codes are only for football because it's for NIL.
Sure.
So, okay. Yeah. So first, it, like I said, Oklahoma State views it one way. NTA views it differently.
NTA, that's another example of the NTA being behind the times and trying to poke.
So yeah, they can have it inside the stadium, on the video, inside the video boards, inside the stadium, but not on helmets.
But the thing about if it was inside the stadium and the camera was zooming around the stadium, would they not pick up those QR codes in mm-hmm. the when the camera's spanning around,
mm-hmm.
and especially if they're behind the team's benches and within that first area, end zones, like, you know, like that insurance company, because they don't, since they don't sponsor us on Folks Talking Sports, you know, right. That one that when you kick a field goal or a PAT, that they raise the net and they've said mm-hmm. that we have mm-hmm. generated X number of $1 million yep. since we inception.
That company that soon will probably have a deal announced with Mr. Yormark's conference. Yeah, that company.
Yeah, that company.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What am I missing? I did graduate from Sam Houston State with a business degree. Yeah. What am I missing from what part of marketing 101 did I miss on this one?
I don't know if the NCAA says that because it wasn't their idea. So now they're trying to say no go.
It wasn't that I didn't expand to 12 players for the football championship neither.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we're spending too much time thinking logically regarding the NTA. That's dangerous to do. So let's not do that. Oh, I'm going to shift gears a lot, I think. Well, see, so he summed it up, I think, better than all three of us could. Basically, the NTA shut it down for no good reason. So there you go. Okay. WNBA. Mr. Moore.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Pulliams, and Aggie fans, we're being nice to y'all. Okay, I'm going to let it slide today that y'all lost at home Notre Dame yesterday. So just be thankful, because later on FTS, future shows, when I lose again, I will bring up other defeats. Don't worry about that. But okay, Angel Reese, Miss Double Doubles, had another one today. What is it now? 24, whatever it is.
24.
They lost again. Chicago Sky lost. They're like 1-7 since the Olympic break. But I noticed, and it really stood out in Friday's loss to Indiana in Chicago, home game for the Sky. The Fever were up 25, something like that, late fourth quarter. Game was over. AD, KP, Miss Wanda, CA, Angel Reese, at that point of the game, like a minute, 2 minutes left in the game, had 5 points and four rebounds. Okay? 5 and 4. She had a single-single. Indiana set their starters. Coach Teaspoon, Teresa Weatherspoon, set most of her Chicago starters. Except Angel Reese. She finished with a double-double. In that last minute and change, she got her 5 and 6 rebounds, whatever. And it really, the spotlight on that, I don't know what you want to call it, performance, has really like made a glaring of the double-double push that Angel Reese and I guess her coach has done this season. What was the point of that? The game was over. 25-point deficit, 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. You rest nearly every starter but Angel Reese. Why? Mr. Moore, what are your thoughts on that?
I think you've already alluded to it, Chris. In order for her to continue to string double-doubles. The problem with that, and this is a problem that I look at with Travis Hunter and with all the snaps he's playing at Colorado, you exposing this kid to injuries. If you really protecting your product, protecting your brand, to me, that's exploiting it, because Angel could have went up and came down with a rebound very awkwardly, came down. She could have snapped a tendon. She could have done anything. Under 2 minutes left, anything can happen. And to me, when you pull the forces and you leave one of your studs out there just to bank and keep her numbers going, I'll just say it cheapens that record.
It does. More and more, the record is cheapened. Now today in their loss to the Lynx, she had better numbers. It didn't take her long to get the double-double this time. She had 17 points and 19 rebounds. 19 rebounds. It's still lost by 5. They are now 11-21 on the season. 8 games left in the regular season.
They won't yet make the playoffs.
But they are, as of right now, still in the 8th spot because teams behind them are struggling as well. And the Atlanta Dream, who is 1 game behind Chicago, is up at halftime over the LA Sparks by 16. So assuming they win that game, Atlanta will tie Chicago with a record of 11-21. So I think Atlanta is healthier. They stay healthier. They will make the playoffs. But it is just, I'm disappointed in Teresa Weatherspoon. She's old school player, old school coach. What AD said, I agree with. It cheapens the game. Why are you leaving her in just to get a double-double in a game that you're already losing by 25 points? And you don't bring Angel Reese to post-game. Friday, she didn't come to post-game. Talk about it. Go ahead, Caitlin.
I think if Caitlin Clark wasn't having the season that she was having, I think Teaspoon would have taken Angel out. Because Fever right now, not only is Caitlin having individual impact with the way she's distributing the ball and scoring the ball, the Fever are winning more. So she is naturally getting more attention.
Yeah, with Indiana's win today, they are now 1 game above 500. They're 17-16.
Yeah.
And they're in the 6th spot ahead of Phoenix in 7th. The race is for the 8th spot because, like, yeah. I said, Chicago and Atlanta. That's
so, it. So for Caitlin to break the assist record and you're winning and you're in playoff contention, there's a lot of contention. There's a lot of attention that comes with that. So with Angel, it's like, okay, so you break the rebounding record, you know, in WNBA history. Okay, what do you have to show for it? You have 1 win since the Olympic break.
Yep. And they're not winning. So she's setting the rebound record, as you just said, the double doubles. But the way she's getting some of the double doubles now, the attention that she's getting now is like you're cheapening it yourself because you're not winning.
Also, keep in mind the wear and tear because of the NCAA season.
Yes.
Like, so she didn't have the recovery. Now, yeah, she had the Olympic break. But the fact of all of the games that are on her legs from the NCAA season that goes until late March. And then, you know.
I will say this, though.
Go ahead.
Friday's game is big game. You know, it's in Chicago, Indiana, Chicago. The rivalry is set. This is something for the W to promote for years to come. Pre-game, Angel Reese, a member of the Chicago Sky, was wearing a Dennis Rodman Detroit Pistons jersey, number 10. So I was like, thank you very much, Angel. She knows what's up. Back when Dennis was a Piston, before he became a showman and a marketing person himself, when he was rebounding.
Before he wore the dress and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. All right. He was rebounding, getting like 17 rebounds a game for a while. But yes, she wore a Dennis Rodman Detroit Pistons number 10. So I was then ahead. She messed up the game. Messed it up. She sullied the game with that fake double double in the last 2 minutes. But anyway, Justin coming from the top rope with the youngsters. The WNBA is being revitalized, but just wait until Juju Watkins makes it to the league. Looking forward to it. She's about to blow the top off the league, and then he goes with another one. The next one in line, Aaliyah Chavez in Lubbock Monterey High School, but playing for the Cy Fair Elite here in H-Town. But all this momentum, Justin, AD, KP, it just shakes my head. It shakes my head. I don't know what I'm going to. I guess I have to move to a WNBA city because it looks like the WNBA is not going to return to Houston. The announcement is, I think, going to happen on September 10th.
Portland.
That the WNBA is going to return to Portland. Mm-hmm. They had a WNBA franchise in Portland for three seasons. But they're going to return there. However, Houston had four championships in a row, four in league history, and can't get a sniff. Apparently, Mr. Fertitta, Travis Scott, Beyonce, whoever, all y'all out who got money here in H-Town, none of y'all want to capitalize on this popularity and success of women's basketball, women's sports, and bring a WNBA franchise to H-Town? I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. Please.
Chris.
What's the Spike Lee's character? What's Morris's last name? Please, baby.
Mars. Mars Blackman?
Mars Blackman. Yeah. Please, baby.
Chris.
Mr. Moore.
Chris, I hope Tillman just saves his money bringing an NHL team here.
I'm good with that, too, because I love the Red Wings.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. I mean, because here's my deal. We saw what happened to the Comets once they left the NBA holding, and you know somebody
that was the wrong owner though.
Yeah, well, hey,
and lo and behold, I saw a commercial for that dude. Was it this morning or yesterday? Todd ain't hawking his furniture place. Now I was like, I don't know, you still existed, man. I was like, wow, that's a fact. And I was like, oh, you still got a business here in town?
How you destroyed
the Comets and ran them out of WNBA and all that kind of stuff. But yes, Portland, the city of Portland is going to get a WNBA franchise. That will be the 15th WNBA franchise. Reportedly, the league is going to go to 16, expand to 16. So that's one more city. And so far, the cities being mentioned, Nashville, the Tampa area. Help me out, Cape. Who else? What am I missing? All I know is it ain't Houston. Houston's not even considered among the other cities for that 16th spot. And it's a damn shame. It's a crying shame. It's awful. Part of me hopes Tillman is going secretly and behind behind the scenes and going to shock the world. At some point, there's going to be an announcement. The city of Houston surprises everyone and now becomes the 16th WNBA franchise.
I'll hold my breath for an NHL franchise. Sorry.
Killjoy.
No, I just want to see hockey back in this city.
I do too. You know, but.
Think about this. You and I both are sitting in. I'm cheering to get an NHL team here, and folks looking like, the hell you know about NHL? Dude, the Arrows and everybody else, Gordie Howe and that whole bunch went over at the old Summit. Are you kidding me? Man, yep. Please.
And this is true, Justin. This is because of you guys, the family, the FTS family, the crew. Y'all come in with the questions, the comments. The hour goes by fast on Folks Talking Sports because I was thinking we'd go 30 minutes. That was it. And we'd wrap it up and that'd be all. But we're approaching the top of the hour, going an hour strong here on episode 137 of Folks Talking Sports. The fourth member, we had scheduling conflict. Mr. Gibson was unable to join tonight. For everyone tuning in, most likely during NFL season, we are going to have FTS move to Mondays so Willie Gibson can join me. So AD will have the AdMex Corner on some Sundays because the C.J. Stroud-led Texans are primetime royalty this season.
Yes,
so most of those times, AD will be either at the games, on the road sometimes, and there won't be the corner until later in the week. But speaking of, sir, I believe you have something, a show coming up this Wednesday?
Yep. Let me go. Thank you, Chris. And let me shamelessly plug it. We'll be on the corner kicking off the NFL season 2024. I'm bringing an eclectic group of guys. Kenitra, I didn't know you were available because if I had, I would just bring you in there just to, you know, even though we got KY Kim Davis will be there. You got a bunch of other guys from across the area coming across the league that we're gonna chop it up. I mean, what I've always found fascinating by trying to project the NFL, nobody knows what the hell's gonna happen when it comes down to injury situations. Let's face it, Aaron Rodgers spent four snaps. And the New York Jets' whole season went down and went to hell, crumbling under Aaron Rodgers. And now they're basically back. So we don't know from it. And I try to be as optimistic, as realistic as possible, trying to project what this season is going to look like. Okay. Because all it takes is one play, guys, and the whole expectation as far as the Houston Texans are concerned goes down the toilet real quick.
All right, AD. KPU as well, you know sports, as everyone is learned. If they did not know, they learned tonight. What? Just give me a record, AD, because my church family and Miss Wanda, this is for you, because I know you're prayerful, so you pray for this too. I'm gonna put this out for everybody. Put it out there in the universe. She won't like it. She won't watch the show anyway. But my future wife. And family have given me their prediction. They're big Texans fans. 17 games, AD, KP. How many games will Texans win this season?
11 10 and 6.
10 and 7.
11 and 6. Okay, I'm so going 11 and 6.
Y'all about
to say. And I'm already previewing. I'm standing on that right now, even though I know they're playing a first-place schedule. I know a lot of things are variable in place. It's the thing about it. The guy that's at the head of that leads this team, D'Amico Ryans. I'm putting a lot of faith in this guy that he can get these guys. He can get them there even through the injuries. Because let's face it, we lost CJ Stroud. Probably could have had a better season than what he had this past year. But remember, he lost two games due to injuries.
Right.
Okay. So I just feel like where we are now. I'm going to go into it in much details Wednesday night, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on the Houston Roundball Review and the Ad Max Corner YouTube channel, as well as Facebook, the Facebook page. So I'm shamelessly plugging that now, folks. So CA, all the rest of y'all, y'all want to get the full results of it. Stay tuned for Wednesday afternoon because the season wouldn't have kicked off. I'm not worrying about all those other shows and reruns and everything. Y'all want to get into a wild free fall? We're gonna have one Wednesday starting at 8 a.m.
8 p.m. Why are you saying a.m.? We gonna
8 p.m. I'm sorry. p.m. Thank you, Chris.
That's how excited he is.
Yes, he's hot.
I'm hey man, I got a group and we
gonna be on the corner for 12 hours.
You a bad man if you do that, AD. Y'all are something else.
I am a bad man. Okay?
Oh, yeah, this is true. Yes. As the NFL attests to close it out, Mr. Moore was credentialed under the Houston Roundball Review Media Group to be at and cover the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement of Mr. Andre Johnson. Yes, that's right. The Houston Round, the NFL. Let me say that one more time. Since my alma mater, y'all know who it is, my alma mater, has once again decided not to give me a credential for football. That's all right. Mr. Moore represents the Houston Roundball Review Media Group with the NFL and the CFP, the Rice Owls, you know, on and on and on. So we'll just get in where we fit in. So we're going to close it out. This edition of Folks Talking Sports, Miss Kenitra Pulliams, thank you very much. You had more time to share your insight than we thought possible. So I'm glad of that. How can folks find you on the social webs?
On X at K Pulliams.
Thank you, ma'am. And KP is part of the Houston Roundball Review Media Group. She will not be the only female part of this family. I'm working with trying to get a young lady who is a UH student. And she'll be joining this family soon enough as well. Going to see how much she knows about sports. This is what she wants to do. I'm going to test her knowledge. So I might just have KP and her on, and I'll just moderate and see what she can do.
No, but, let her host it. Come on, KP.
Well, I don't know.
Hey, no.
KP can do that, but I'm not sure. Hey, I'm going to put a lot on her plate.
Let her go ahead and host.
She doesn't know.
Yeah, she can do it. Give her the keys to the car. Go ahead.
She doesn't know all that yet. So
Chris, do like your parents used to do. Give you the keys to the car and look at you like you better bring my car back in the same way I gave it.
That is true. Because if she messes it up, it's going to be something. But that is a great point right there. But Mr. Moore.
Yes, sir.
You've done a great job. And it's not shameless plugs, man. You got to let folks know. Hey, we all talked about Houston and the lack of outreach. If folks don't know about your show, that's your fault. So you got to let everybody know.
And by the way, Justin Singleton, 8 p.m. Wednesday, September the 4th, Central Standard Time, Houston Roundball Review, Ad Max Corner, both on the YouTube channel and Facebook. But primarily, we're trying to grow the YouTube channels. I definitely trying to grow mine. And Chris, you know, you've done a magnificent job with the number of viewers that they've had on the Houston Roundball Review channel and that platform. We're trying to grow them both because, folks, we want to make it a sight and eyeballs when they come there. They see dollar signs. They see the fact that, hey, oh, you know, we it's worth coming over there. And it will be worth your time coming over there because it's no telling what you might hear coming off of there. But we talk facts, but we have a good time doing it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moore. And I am, of course, KG Chris Gardner. Y'all know Houston Roundball Review, Threads, Spotable, TikTok, but also talk about growing the platform. Folks Talking Sports on IG and Threads, Folks Talking Sports. You can follow me on there, get some different info and insight. I don't know, but one, Justin said he got you, AD, going to check you out this Wednesday. Thank you for that, my man. Appreciate that. We're getting close to the start of the NBA season. I'll be, as far as I know, still credentialed to cover the Rockets. But anyway, let's toss the rocks at my old school because they make it so easy to do so. But one media outlet said DirecTV and Disney, if a deal was not reached by 7 p.m. Eastern time, so that is now an hour ago, that ESPN, some of the ESPN family networks will be dark on certain platforms on the DirecTV spectrum. So I don't know. I may have to go check my TV and see if my channel is black. But if you've seen any breaking news, Ms. Wanda or KP or AD, that a deal has been reached, let us know before we close it out. I don't think so. But
if it's DirecTV, that's the reason I left that other satellite platform, because one of those issues with that three letter behemoth called HBO. Okay.
But yeah. And got to put this out there. This is business, but you know, different ways to support the Round Bar View, the Cash App, Zelle, PayPal, all those different things. And one day we're going to,
Do you take Bitcoins too?
No, because I don't want to have easier access to my money.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't want it to be somewhere that I can't touch it.
Lottery scratchers?
You know. if they're winning lottery tickets, yeah. If you already scratch them off and they're winners and you give it to me, I'll take that too. Yeah, for sure. But this is a lot of fun, as I knew it would be. Thank you very much to Mr. Adolphus A.D. Moore and K.P. Kanitra Pulliams. All because, honestly, because of Andre Jones, A.J., brought us together in some form of capacity and gave us giving us the keys, AD. AJ gave me the keys to his show, The Takeover, about 3 years ago now. And I've grown that into having The Takeover now on Thursdays for myself. So it's all works together. And thank you very much, everyone, for chiming in to Miss Wanda Polk, Justin Singleton, CA37, and everybody else watching us on YouTube and Facebook. You all know it. Subscribe to the channel, of course. Since 1994, the Houston Round Ball Review. Local name, global perspective. Everyone, take care. Peace.
Deuces.